Before we get to the scripture reading in a moment or two, but question for you, have you ever driven on a stretch of road that you've driven it many, many times, and then one day you look off to the right or the left and you think, I never noticed that house there before, you know? And then the next time you drive the road, you know what? You can't help but see that house. And you might look at that house numerous times over the next time you drive that because you never saw it before, but now your mind consciously locked onto that and you can see that. Or maybe you bought yourself a new car. It can be a used car, but it's a new car to you. And suddenly it seems like everybody on the road is driving the same model car as what, you know, you never noticed those model cars before, but now it's like everybody has a car, kind of like, what, experience that? Or, I'm speaking more to the men now, but ladies, let me know if this is true, because I know it's true in our house, and there's research that backs this up. Men, have you ever been looking for something like your car keys, a certain piece of paper, your glasses, or something along those lines, and you can't find it? And you say something to your wife, and she walks right over to the place you've looked at 100 times and picks it up and says, here it is. How many of you have, I'm seeing all the men's hands going up here, you know. How many wives have you done that to them? So, yeah. So, you know, it's right there, but we just don't see it. Our minds tend to focus on things, you know, and we miss what's right in front of us. And I've been finding that happens a lot of times when I'm reading the scripture, that we get so focused on what we either know about the story or the event of the story that then there's a little verse or a phrase that's right there in plain sight, and we miss it. So before we read the scripture, let me give you a little bit of background of what's coming up to this. Jesus has called his disciples. In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus has called his disciples, and he's done many miracles in their presence. You know, he cast out the demon at the synagogue that came and started to speak to him and identify him, and Jesus cast the demon out. And then they go to Peter's house, which was real close by, short walking distance, and Peter's mother-in-law is sick, and he heals Peter's mother-in-law. She gets up and starts to care for him. And then the scripture says that night they brought all kinds of the sick and demon-possessed to him, and he worked all night healing. And then later, then, you know, he goes to other towns and villages. He encounters a leper, and he heals the leper, and the leper's cleansed. Then the story of the paralytic that they lowered down through the roof, he forgives his sins and tells him, to show I can do that, you're healed. He gets up and he walks. You know, then, you know, he encounters the woman. They sail across and he encounters the demon-possessed man, and he puts all the demons into the pigs, and then they have pig soup in the Sea of Galilee because they all run down, you know. And then they come back, and synagogue ruler says, my daughter's really, really, really sick. Would you come heal her? And as he's going there, there's a woman with the issue of blood that's been sick for 12, 16 years. She sneaks up and she touches just the hem of his garment, and she's healed, and Jesus is aware of that. And the disciples are all there with him during this whole time. But then they come and they say, you know, the girl died. Jesus said, don't worry, we'll go. And he said, she's just sleeping. They laugh at him, but Jesus raises her from the dead. Okay, so we've had all those things that the disciples are witnessing and seeing. And then Jesus gives them, the 12 disciples, authority and the power of the Holy Spirit, and sends them off to the neighboring villages for them to do the same thing, to heal and to cast out demons. So they're participating in the same thing that they've been witnessing for a while. They've seen all of this, and they come back to Jesus, and probably the people from these different villages followed them back, and they come back, and there's this huge crowd, and we know the crowd's like 5,000 people. There could be more if that's not counting the women and children. And the disciples, you know, they're getting tired, and Jesus, he said, you know, it's getting late. Send them away. Let them go home, get something to eat. And Jesus says, you feed them. It'd take a half a year's salary to buy enough food to feed this many people. How many of you are ready for 5,000 people to come to your house for dinner tonight? You know, and that's what they're like, you want us to feed them? And he says, what food do you have? And they said, we have 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus takes the 5 loaves, 2 fish, blesses it, hands them to the 12 disciples, and then they go, they feed the 5,000. And the amazing thing was at the end, they pick up 12 basketfuls of leftovers. You know, it was an amazing thing. And then Jesus tells them, you know, I'll disperse the crowd. You get in a boat and head out. And here's where the scripture picks up at this point. It says, later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on the land. And he could see the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. So shortly before dawn, he went out to them, walking on the lake. And he was about to pass by them. But when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. And they cried out, you know, and you could almost hear the scream, because they all saw him, were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. And then he climbed in the boat with them, and the wind died down, and they were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. Now, what caught my attention this time, like I said, when you suddenly, you're driving down the road, you look up and you see the house. Jesus is walking on the water. He gets in the boat, and they don't understand because of the loaves of fishes that they just fed the 5,000 with. Nothing stated there about, did you just see him walking on the water? They don't understand about the loaves. And their hearts were hardened. Anybody else ever noticed that verse? I mean, I get so keyed in on walking on the water, I never noticed that verse before. And I'll be honest, I'm still trying to process that verse as I'm talking with you. They were amazed because because they didn't understand about the loaves, and their hearts were hardened. How about you? Have you seen, witnessed something? Maybe you got to participate in many things, movements of God and the Holy Spirit, but you don't understand because your heart is hardened. Now think about that. You know, we went back through that whole thing, what all the disciples had just did experience, had been watching Jesus do. I mean, they even were sent out by Jesus with the power and the authority to cast out demons, to heal people, where they actually got to practice what they saw Jesus doing. And they still don't understand about the loaves. You know, we haven't had one of these for months and months, a dry spell. Like I said, I don't want spring because I've had spring all winter long with the, you know, rain, no snow. But, you know, when you have a long dry spell, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be completely drought-like conditions, but the ground grows hard and it starts to form little cracks. And then when the rains come, when they come hard, the water doesn't soak in. It runs right off. And, you know, the ground is still there thirsty for water. I think the same thing can be true of hard hearts. You know, the hearts are so tensed and tight and locked that when the movement and the Spirit of God is coming and happening, that even though it's there, it runs off and leaves you confused. Let's be honest, you know, do you ever struggle with what you've seen, what you know of God? You know, what does it mean to have a hard heart? You know, usually when we talk about someone, oh, he's a hard-hearted guy, you're thinking about he's a nasty, mean. But that wasn't who the disciples were. They'd just been out healing people and casting out demons and feeding 5,000, and you know, I think this is my own definition of what it means to have a hard heart, is that we get so set in our own ways, our own opinions, our own personal views, that we have a hard time hearing, listening, and accepting anything that might be contrary or outside of those opinions. So set in our own opinions and views and attitudes that we have a hard time accepting something else, like dry ground having a hard time accepting the rain. You know, the disciples, they witnessed many supernatural acts, as I mentioned before, yet they failed to realize that for Jesus, the supernatural is just natural. You know, even if it's supernatural, it's still natural. And for Jesus, supernatural wasn't like something, this is just normally what I do. You know, and I looked up what it meant to be natural, and, you know, and that's like where the anticipated, expected, normal behavior. For Jesus, the supernatural was the expected, normal behavior. So can you imagine the disciples struggling with that thing about the bread? They go out, they're given 5 loaves, they're given a half a loaf between, you know, and, you know, 2 disciples have a fish and 10 disciples have a half a loaf. And they're going out and they're tearing off a chunk and they're saying, you know, Marla, here, take this and pass some down, and, you know, and take some, pass some down, take some, pass. And can you imagine? And it's not like when we do communion, we tear off a piece enough for you to dip. They were given enough for you to have a meal. And they're looking at their hand, and it's like, it's still the same size. You know, we do communion, we're like, okay, I need to go get the other half because we're getting down low. They're still got what he gave me to start with. I don't understand. I look back, all these people, they're eating, and I'm like, how does this work? Today, God's moving. God's always moving. God's always present. But, you know, so many times when God moves, we meet his movement with skepticism, especially by some of those who are within the church. Last week, you know, we had Larry Brown was here. Wonderful time for him to share about what was happening at Asbury University. You know, the 16 days of outpouring and all these youth and young kid people there, the Spirit of God moving. Other people, the people were being healed. There were a couple things where demons were cast out. All that kind of stuff happened. And there were some solid Christian leaders that met it with skepticism and said, well, let's wait and see. I don't know if this is of God. Let's wait and see whether there's any fruit. Well-known author, pastor, Ann and I were able to listen and meet him at the conference we were at. His response to that was, you know, they'd say, well, let's see if there's any fruit. And he'd look at them and say, well, tell me, what kind of fruit have you manifested in the last week or 2 weeks? You know, we want to be skeptical of that and say, well, let's see if there's any fruit, but I'm not manifesting any fruit in my life. You know, it's hard for us to grab things that are outside of what we normally experience. The feeding of the 5,000, for some reason, the disciples couldn't wrap their faith and stuff around that. If you fast forward in Mark chapter 6 to Mark chapter 8, you'll find that there's another multitude in the feeding of the 4,000 plus women and children. And they take up 7 basketfuls that time. And then they get in a boat again to go someplace, and one disciple looks at the other disciple and says, ah, man, we only have 1 loaf of bread. And they're talking about, we only got a loaf of bread among all of us. There's 13 of us. I knew we only got 1 loaf of bread. And Jesus says, beware the leaven of the Pharisees. And they start saying, he knows we only have 1 loaf of bread. And Jesus looks at him and said, tell me something. He said, when we fed 5,000 people, how many pieces did you pick up? He said, well, 12 basketfuls. And when we fed the 4,000, how many basketfuls did you pick up? 7. And then he says this interesting phrase, are your hearts hardened? Why are you worried about not having any bread? I think what it comes down to is it's a matter of, can you trust God? They didn't understand. You can trust God even in little things like bread. Their hearts were so skeptical of what happened or filled with doubt or questions that they couldn't receive what God wants to give. When you're in the presence of God, you don't need to worry about anything. Have you ever bought a good piece of meat, like a steak maybe, or maybe you bought a roast, and you marinate it in some beautiful sauce of some kind that you've made up? You know, and you put the meat in there and you let it stay there long enough that flavor soaks into all parts of the meat. You know, I think one of the things we need to do, the longer it's there, the more flavor it receives. We need to allow our hearts to marinate in all that God is doing. Let him soften our hearts, just like you don't want a hard downpour when the ground's hard. You want the soaking rain. We need to place ourselves there for a period of time where God marinates within our hard hearts. Spend time in prayer and presence with God so that the marinating of the Spirit penetrates into us. And that begins with prayer. Jesus was constantly withdrawing to pray. You don't hear the disciples, they ask about prayer, but you don't hear about them praying much until they fall asleep when they're asked to pray. But then when you hit Acts, they're praying all the time. And then the supernatural just seems natural to them without any question or concern. And no, they've learned to marinate their hearts in the presence of God. I still don't understand completely this verse. I'm still wrestling with it, but I think I need to allow God to be penetrating through presence in my life. And my prayer for you is the same. Would you bow with me for a moment of prayer? Heavenly Father, Lord, we don't always understand. Sometimes we struggle with how you've done things and we don't comprehend it. But we ask, Lord, that you continue to work in us. In Jesus' name, amen. As you encounter the movements of God, when he even works in you and through you, like feeding of the 5,000, may you be able to grasp and understand that for Jesus, what we consider supernatural is just natural for him, and that he can do anything through you. May you go in his peace and his love and his grace. In Jesus' name, amen.